Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on March 28th, 2019. And that's, it's a right. Beautiful, beautiful day in Los Angeles. Crystal clear.
As we look out our beautiful window here.
Right, to the nice, San Gabriel nice Mountains view. In the background.
That's and right.
In the foreground, Notre Dame.
Yep. South Bend,
high school.
That's right. Oh, shoot. Never mind. Never mind.
Yeah, if we could see that far, we'd be in business.
That's right. Hey, Michael, as you said, it is March 28th, and we have some remarkable performers joining us today on the show to talk about some limited engagements coming to the Southland that audiences won't want to miss.
We certainly do. Andrew, with us in studio today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a truly exceptional vocalist, mezzo-soprano, Danielle Marcel Bond.
That's right.
Which act...
Yes, yes, true. Which actually...
No, actually makes her a Bond girl.
I love it.
Yes.
Official Bond girl here with us on State of the Arts today. I love that.
She will be appearing as a guest soloist in the Verdi Choruses Spring Concert, April 6th and 7th coming up.
That's right.
In Santa Monica.
That is pretty cool. And also, we are very excited to speak with her in just a little bit. But first, joining us now via phone, we welcome a playwright and actress who has appeared on film, television, and stages across the country. She is best known for her reoccurring roles on Better Call Saul, one of my favorites, Breaking Bad, and The Lion Games.
Other guest starring roles include The Lost Room, Longmire, Wildfire, and In Plain Sight. Additionally, she has been seen in Messiah, Rattlesnake, and Awakening in Taos. Film credits include Hell or High Water, Crazy Heart, The War Boys, The Burning Plain, and the Sundance selection, Drunk Town's Finest.
That's right. She's also an actor, creator, and co-writer of the web series Ciphers and the upcoming Reaction 21. She is a New York-trained actor studying under such greats as Edward Albee and Alan Arkin and has worked off-Broadway in the Soho Rep.
She joined us now on the telephone, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about her current starring role in the show that she also authored, The Meatball Chronicles, on stage now through the... Excuse me, March 29th. It opens actually tomorrow night, mm-hmm. and it runs through April 14th at the Hudson Guild Theater in Hollywood, which explores the ways that families cope, laugh, grieve, and show their love through food. Please give a warm welcome to the incredibly talented Debriana Mancini.
That's right.
They're ready for you.
Debriana, I'm getting hungry already. Tell me about this show and where it came from.
Let's see. The show was basically inspired by a kind of a revelation I had when I was thinking one day about everything important that I ever learned in my life always seemed to happen around a meal. my good Italian upbringing. And so I actually thought at first that I might write a show where I would cook on stage because I grew up in a family that cooks a lot, and I cook a lot myself and entertain a lot. And I thought, well, that might kind of be fun to try and come up with that. And once I started writing it, it sort of took on a life of its own. And the way I talk about food, I think people leave the show hungry. So what I've done is usually partner with a restaurant that... makes food inspired by my show so that I don't have to tour around trying to cook somewhere.
That's a great idea. So people can eat nearby whenever they go to see the show?
Yeah. I'm partnering this time in L.A. with Chef Hunter at Hunter and Charlie's, and he's going to be making meatballs. And we found out as we were talking to each other when I was searching around for a chef that we share commonality in not only our love and connection to Italian food, but Italian food is very regional, and we have the same region that we cook from, so it was really exciting to work with him, and his meatballs are spectacular.
What region is that?
New York City.
I'm from New York, exactly. No, I'm first generation here. My family comes, both sides, from the middle of the boot, Puglia.
Ah, very nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm. So this is something that the person who comes to see your show, do they buy this additional opportunity in advance, or how does that work?
Oh, no. You can go anytime during the run of my show to Hunter's Restaurant, Hunter and Charlie.
And they're located in the Hollywood?
1050 Vine Street.
Ah,
they're,
nice.
They're pretty close to here. And he has a meatball sub on the menu, so... that's his homage to the show. So you can try some Italian food over there.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's fun, man. People really are, their taste buds are stimulated, shall we say, after the show for sure.
That sounds delicious,
well,
no
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah, Italian food, you can't beat that.
And honestly, I think it's not only about Italian food and Italian families. It definitely has a resonance beyond that because I think most... nationalities come together around some kind of nexus around food and family, and people pass down recipes through their, you know, their generations, even if it's that their mom made hot dogs and beans a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those stories seem to revolve, and it stimulates a lot of memories for people around their own family journeys with food.
That's great.
You know, I'm part Italian, Sicilian, actually.
Just the top half.
What is that?
I don't have no idea.
You don't even know what that means.
You laugh though, didn't it?
Darn it!
Maybe it's just that nice hair. That's right. That's right. Maybe it's just Michael's nice hair. You know, Italians always have good looking hair. I've always been jealous of that.
Oh, you've got a pretty good mane yourself. I think that this is lovely. What you're doing is this? Have you done this at the Hudson before, or have you done it at another? You have not. This is its first.
This is my first time at the Hudson. It's a lovely theater.
It is. It's a great space.
Yeah, I did it during the Hollywood Fringe Festival for a couple performances at the Broadwater, and then I was asked to be in the LA Women's Theater Festival a week ago, and I thought, well, if I'm going to come for the festival, maybe I should come and do a longer run since the show was successful during the festival. So that's what I decided to do.
Fantastic.
So you came, and you are not a resident of Los Angeles?
Say that again?
Are you a resident of Los Angeles now?
No. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, how lovely. That's kind of mystical and exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a lovely place to live. We call it Tamalewood. I've been very, very lucky there, and I've had a lot of film work from there, so I feel blessed.
I have some friends in Santa Fe, which isn't too far from... Do you...
Yeah, that's where I live.
Oh, you live in Santa Fe? Oh, okay, so I'm going to ask you, do you know Gary Danzig?
I don't think so. What does he do?
Gary is a television producer. He has been a longtime friend of mine. He used to be a musical theater singer. We took classes together in musical theater when I was singing in that genre, and we became best friends, and then he produced a little show back in the, I think, 90s. It was called Murphy Brown. He wrote it and he produced
it. Oh, that little show.
Yeah. And he won 3 Emmys for that. And then he was part of the team, of course, of executive producers that brought it back on the reboot that was very recent.
Mm-hmm.
And he built a home there in Santa Fe, which is quite spectacular. And he loves it there, and he doesn't get back to L.A. too much anymore. But he is still involved with television. And I thought since you were... both in the business, you might have come across him at some point.
You know, I may have. It's not often that I get to have, you know, contact with producers. Usually, you know, they hire me from afar.
Right.
And sometimes, I mean, I know some of the producers because I've been working so long on, you know, between Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, but it's not, I don't often get to meet the producers, but I'll keep my eye out for him for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and Marsha Mason, who's...
Marsha
has about 250 acres of land out there, and she gave to Mr. Danzig about 25 of those acres.
Nice.
Oh, yes, and I know exactly where that is. I actually just shot a film, Rattlesnake, that one of the scenes was near where Marsha's property is.
Oh, cool. All right.
I call it the moon, but it's actually called Plaza Blanca, and it's amazing. It's an amazing piece of New Mexico, and this is, I think, what I love so much about it is the topography changes so radically, and it can just be like a few feet sometimes, it feels like, but her property is along a river, and then you drive down a little ways and off, she's on the right, off to the left if you're driving on that road, are these spectacular rock formations that I swear to you look like you're on the lunar surface of the moon.
Wow.
And I think Cowboys and Aliens shot there last, and then we did also went there for Rattlesnake.
Well, New Mexico has a great history for film shoots, obviously, yes, going all the way back to the 30s and 40s.
And, of course, one of its more famous residents, Shirley MacLaine, she's a lovely woman who is still singing and doing her, not singing so much, but, I mean, she sings a little bit in the show that she takes around to various theaters in the country, which is really a meet and greet, a Q&A. But boy, oh boy, is it entertaining, and, you know, includes film clips. And she has actually, I attended it here in Los Angeles, and the Q&A part of it is, you know, the audience lines up in the aisles and to ask her questions. But
she's an icon.
Yes, but I'm saying that's the structure of it at the end of the show, that's an announcement that they get in line. And if she can't answer someone's question, she actually invites them back to her dressing room.
Wow.
To be able to talk further with them to try to answer that question.
Wow.
So, because it's Shirley MacLaine, you wouldn't think she would have necessarily the interest or perhaps the patience.
Pretty cool follow-up.
Or
though,
the time
that's
to do
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
Yeah.
More importantly.
Yeah.
Debriana, can you tell me a little bit about what you want people to get when they come see the Meatball Chronicles at the Hudson Theater?
You mean the experience?
Yeah, what are you wanting
what
them
they
to
want to take
feel
away
think?
With?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it's really a story about family and how we choose to hide ourselves when we're in a big family, and sometimes even not, and then being able to discover who you are. Some people go down, you know, we all go down different paths to figure out who we are and how we find ourselves, and when you can step into yourself, whatever means that is, you can fully embody who you are. And my journey went through food, and the way it went through my family, it seems like that's the way it always happened. We're always eating, always cooking. And I like to say, we live, we love, we eat.
That's great. That's great. Well, obviously,
so I think, you know, a lot of people can relate to that experience.
I think so. This show sounds like a lot of fun, and obviously a great piece of theater for people who are looking to go out and have a nice night out. The Hudson's a great spot. It's the Hudson Guild Theater, located at 6539 Santa Monica Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90038. Easiest way to get tickets is go to www.onstage411.com/meatball. If that's tough, you can just Google the Meatball Chronicles, spelled exactly like you think, and it'll pop up there. And Debriana, this is obviously a fun show, and I think that you have a couple Q&As, don't you?
On April 7th, I'll be having a Q&A after the show. That's the matinee show, and the matinees are at 3, and the evening performances are at 8.
Now, this says with a special guest. I just want to confirm, is that me?
Well, if you want to come.
I just want to make sure, because if I need to reserve the date, I need
I'll
to know early.
Talk to you.
Can you give us any hints as to who the special guest is?
I think it will be Chef Hunter. I think he's going to come
and
talk about
cool.
his experience and his life with food.
You can bring acting questions and cooking questions. I certainly couldn't answer
one
of those very well. So that sounds great. Well, again, the show is called The Meatball Chronicles. And obviously, you're a very engaging person, a very engaging story. I think this is going to be just fantastic.
Well, and as Andrew said, tickets are available at did you give the website?
I did, but we can give it again.
Onstage411.com/meatball. And they are at a nominal price of $30, mm-hmm. which is well worth it for a show like this at a theater like that.
No doubt.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as we always say on this program, get away from that television, put down that remote, get up off the couch, and get out into your car. And if you have children, is this appropriate for children?
Well, there's some language in it, so I don't know. I always say kind of up to you, but certainly teenagers for sure they probably have worse language than I do.
Well, we should mention too, if people want, they can check out a trailer, is that correct?
Yes, there's a trailer for it on YouTube.
So if you type that in YouTube, the Meatball Chronicles, you'll pop up with a trailer for that.
Oh, that's perfect.
Well, yeah, if you type the Meatball Chronicles trailer, it for sure will come up.
Sounds good.
Well, the important part of that message was get your children out to the theater and to the live arts, because if you don't, they won't be around much longer. So support them and do as much as you can do as a patron of the arts. So, well, thank you for spending time with us today. What a pleasure to...
And now, embarrassing moments.
That.
You thought you were going to get her out of here in time. Oh, my. He tries to save our guests, but there's just no way to do it. He cannot stop the embarrassing moments. Debriana, do you have an embarrassing moment maybe that's popped up in your brain, something that you can share with us that maybe went terribly wrong, but you found out the show must go on and we're better for it?
Well, this morning... Yeah, I ran out of rehearsal to use the bathroom, and I flushed my solid gold ring down the toilet.
Oh, no.
I am just like, I just turned around and flushed the toilet and saw it go.
Oh.
And I looked at my hand, and I went, oh, no.
And you were in the middle of rehearsal at the time?
In the middle of rehearsal, and I have to go back and just, like, put that away. I notified the superintendent of the building, but then I thought, I can't hold on to that. I have to focus.
Yeah.
And, my whole team is here, and we have to focus. So now I get to tell you about it and get it off my chest a little bit and hope that somebody either finds it now or in Mumbai.
Well, we've sent out the scuba divers. They're on their way. So they'll be turning up there very shortly. I got to tell you, I really appreciate you going to such trouble to have an embarrassing moment for our show. That was very kind of you.
Yeah.
So right time, right?
Perfect timing.
Well, I'm so sorry for that. That's always a miserable experience, but thank goodness it's just things easily replaced, right?
Yes, that's right. Good. That's exactly right. And, I know the artist, and she'll probably crack up when I tell her.
That's very funny. Very funny. Oh, well, thank you so much.
I need a replacement because the other one's down the toilet in L.A.
That's right. She could probably specialize in that. Here's one, and then one you can put in the safe for when you flush it down the toilet. So, hey, thank you so much for joining us here today. What a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome back.
Please do. Please come back and join us again next time you have a show here in town, okay?
I would love to. Thank you.
And you'll come into the studio next time.
That's right. That would be great.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We'd once again like to invite you to join us and go out there and see live theater all over the place, but particularly the Meatball Chronicles opening tomorrow night, March 29th at the Hudson Theater. Easiest way to get tickets is www.onstage411.com/meatball. Hey, thank you again, Debriana. Such a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Have a great day, you guys.
We'll talk to you soon.
Stay out of that bathroom now.
That's right.
I know. Now I'm afraid to go back in.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, take.
Wow, she was great. Obviously a lot of fun, and I think this show, it just seems like it's brimming with her personality, doesn't it?
Yeah, she's a great personality. And, of course, Italian people are so expressive. She sounds like she is one of those people.
That's right. I think there's no doubt about that. And, obviously, that center on family and on good times and on food. I've been watching a lot of Food Network lately.
Are
you a Food Network guy?
I do.
They've got that Kids Baking Championship, which my kids love. Are you a Food Network fan at all?
I love eating and I love cooking, but I don't like watching it for some reason.
Really?
Danielle, obviously, I knew I liked you from the very beginning.
If I can't eat it, then why is it in my face?
I've actually fallen in love with this. It's good entertainment, especially when you're kind of trying to wind down a little bit. There's not a lot of plot you got to follow or whatever, but it is fun. I tell you, I've learned words like aioli, which I never knew before.
Aioli?
And gastric.
Well, that's on menus. That's the happening sauce.
Right, but you got to understand, when I walk into a restaurant, I say to the waitress or the waiter, I say, hey, what do you like best here? And then bring me that, because I've got no idea. I mean, the menu doesn't tell me anything. I want somebody who's been there, who knows it. And then they usually bring me the most expensive thing on the menu, and I just pay for it and leave. And I'm usually very satisfied. They're usually very honest about
that. Have you ever had a Sterling Burger at the Federal?
Every time I'm there, I get my vanilla Manhattan first, and the next thing I order is the Sterling Burger.
Well, you have been eating aioli sauce.
Really? Yeah. I did not know. See, it goes to show.
There you go.
Didn't even know, but I'm glad I know about it now. Also, you have a show coming up at Sterling's, don't you?
We just did, actually.
What did you have?
We had this wonderful woman, Juliet Fisher Shulane.
And how did that go?
Who was a former Rockette.
Wow. Yeah.
She lived here in Los Angeles, graduated from UCLA, their School of Musical Theater, and went to New York, and within a week was hired as a Rockette, which was the last thing in the world that she thought she would ever be.
Wow.
Because she is not built exactly like the Rockettes are built.
Strangely enough, neither am I. Little known information.
But I mean, they have very specific requirements about your
to the height,
your
to
body, yeah. You know, how you're built and height and all of that. And but she was such an amazing dancer that they hired her. She did that job for 2 years, and then she became a singer, dancer on Broadway.
Unbelievable.
And came back to Los Angeles and met her husband here, who's a super nice guy, and had two children. So her, I have a nightclub here called Sterling's upstairs at the Federal in the NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood. And she brought her show in, which is about her life, through this point in time called My Midlife Cabaret.
That's cute.
And she sold out to the rafters. She danced in it. She had backup singers. She had a male dancer that worked with her on a couple of occasions during the show. And she just blew it out of the water.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I love to hear that.
So,
Well, Michael, obviously, I want to get more to that, and I want to talk to the beautiful lady sitting to my right here.
Absolutely.
In just a moment. But more than that, we should take a minute and thank our sponsors before we get rolling along, shouldn't we?
I think we should.
Obviously, we're so grateful to both of our sponsors, and we should take a minute just to give them a little bit of their
excuse me. First of all, we'd like to thank Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2019, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
That's right. One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options, including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel. At the end of each month, from September to August, one lucky person will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. So make sure to come to latalkradio.com, find the Channel 2, and punch up the State of the Arts page, and you will see their logo on our page, and you click on it, and it enters you in the process of, you have to fill out a couple of little things, I think, but takes a matter of seconds, and you are in as a possibility of being a winner of a $5,000 gift from Princess on that cruise.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Obviously, great supporters of the arts there, and we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts. And as always, we'd of course encourage you to check out one of the best photographers here in Los Angeles, Carrie Ann Francis at cafrancisphoto.com.
Yes, she is. I just delivered one of her photos to the network today of you and I.
She did an
amazing photo session.
Yeah, you know, not only that, but I think that she's so fun to work with and she gets actors work, which I love. So that's cafrancis, that's cafrancesphoto.com.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're grateful to all our great sponsors and all those people who support the arts here in the Southland. That's right.
Listen, you and I haven't seen each other for a week, so let's just catch up a little bit before we get to our next guest. So
I have been swamped with work. I've been running back and forth between films, so I've seen no theater in the past 7 days, which always makes my life a little bit worse. How about you? Did you make it out to any theater?
I did make it out to, of course, the show I just spoke to you about Juliet.
Yeah.
And then I had the pleasure of being invited to a private press screening at the El Capitan of Dumbo.
Hey, what'd you think?
Amazing.
Wow. Is the mouse in it? I didn't see the mouse in any of the trailers. The mouse is in it.
Yes.
Okay, good.
But I must say, Disney has done it once again.
They always do.
Outdone it. And Colin Farrell, Danny DeVito, Michael Keaton.
Wow.
This cast is, and the two children whose names I do not know, but the two children who are in this, who are the children of Colin Farrell, they are, you know, Disney finds these kids. I don't know where they find them, but the girl looks like a young, maybe however old she is, 8, 9, 10, Leslie Caron.
Wow.
She is just
quite a compliment.
Oh,
yeah.
Just stunning.
Amazing.
And the two of them together as a pair are such wonderful actors. The whole movie and the special effects that's gone into this, which is a live action version of Dumbo, which is a dark story.
Yeah. It is a little
and,
scary.
But you don't come out feeling like that.
Really?
Yeah, you don't.
Okay.
You know, it really, really punches up the message of despair turning into hope and, you know, finding what your needs are in your life and the good versus evil and all of that. And they do it in just such a grand way. I hope that it makes a lot of money for them. Not that they need any more money, but they certainly put out wonderful product like this.
Well, now, am I correct that you were at the Pantages this week as well?
I was. Yes, I was last night, actually, to see Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is a musical from Broadway that is now on a national tour, and it features the music of some of the music that was in the actual motion picture.
Oh, cool.
And then, which was written by Leslie Brickus and
That's
Anthony
Newley.
That's
the second version, correct? The Johnny Depp version?
Yes. Mm-hmm. No. The original version. The Willy Wonka.
I didn't know that.
And then the new music in the show was by Mark Shaiman, and Scott Whitman did the lyrics. And I must say, it's appropriate for the show. It's not necessarily a memorable score. There's maybe one or two songs that are, you know, quite amazing in mm-hmm. the process of going through the show from beginning to end. It has a brand new look, and they've updated it a little bit because I think they have to, you know, but children that are coming to this are wiser than they were when the previous movies and incarnations
that's
of
right.
this. So the mention of cell phones and
well, that's interesting.
Yeah, things of that nature are in the dialogue and also actually kind of displayed, you know.
Wow.
During the show. But there's not anyone in this production that is better than another. It is just stunning. But the star, Noah Weisberg, and I'm not sure if he did it on Broadway or not, but he is certainly a winner in this production. And he reminds me of Martin Short.
Oh, that's cool.
And you know that very special quality that Martin Short has? This guy has that.
That's great.
Yeah, he was terrific. And it is at the beautiful Hollywood Pantages Theater for the next 2 weeks. So it's this week and the next 2 weeks.
Wow.
And make a point of taking your kids to this. This is a big spectacle, and you're going to have a blast doing it. So,
such a great way to introduce young people to the theater. Certainly, Pantages is one of the best venues in the States. So that's great.
Big fans of their work there.
Fantastic. Well, we should jump in and do a quick live arts calendar before we get to the beautiful Danielle here in just a moment and talk about some more amazing art here in the Southland. Hero Theater, in association with the Rosenthal Theater at Inner City Arts, presents The Floating Island Plays, a four-play cycle chronicling the Cuban-American and Cuban experience. This dynamic collection captures the story of four generations of Cuban families, starting at the 1920s and ending during the Fidel Castro regime.
It's actually, I think, of a Cuban family.
Yes, you're right. This is one Cuban family.
And all four plays, rarely presented together, will be offered as staged readings this weekend only, March 30th and 31st. The opening ceremony will be hosted by Netflix One Day at a Time star Justina Machado,
mm-hmm.
followed by an exclusive talkback with her and the playwright Eduardo Machado.
That's right. Don't miss this rare opportunity to see all four of Machado's Floating Island plays performed on the L.A. stage for the first time since their Center Theater Group premiere 25 years ago.
Wow. The Floating Island Plays two-day special event appears at the Rosenthal Theater at Inner City Arts in Los Angeles this Saturday and Sunday. Tickets and further information can be found at Hero, H-E-R-O, Theater, spelled with an R-E, .org, herotheater.org.
That's right. Obviously, another great piece going on out there, and that's that play has received amazing reviews when it was at the Center Theater Group 25 years ago. So, good thing to go see.
Yes.
And now the time has come. Ladies
yes.
and gentlemen, in studio with us now, we are privileged to introduce a celebrated mezzo-soprano who is a favorite of audiences and critics alike. She sang on the 2000...
She sang.
She sang.
Is that Chinese?
But down by the seashore, I believe. I'm not sure. The 2017 Grammy Award winning album for the LA Opera recording of Ghost of Versailles. Now, I'm from Kentucky, and I came this close to saying Versailles when I saw that word, so you better be careful.
Versailles.
That's right. Down in Versailles, we all going to go down there and get some food. We need to get some tacos. And also sang at that year's Grammy Award broadcast.
Her appearance in Long Beach Opera's production of Death of Klinghoffer earned her a Brava from the LA Times. A few other roles include Carmen, Hermia in Britain's A Midsummer Night's mm-hmm. Dream, and Maddalena in Rigoletto, among countless others.
She works frequently in contemporary opera and is based in Los Angeles, where she sings on the opera stage, on film and TV, as well as video game scores.
Yay! She is with us today to tell us about her upcoming role as a guest soloist in the Verdi Chorus's Spring Concert, humorously called the Rom-Com of Opera, at the First United Methodist Church in Santa Monica on April 6th and 7th. Please welcome the beautiful and the extraordinarily talented Danielle Marcel Bond.
Right. Welcome, Danielle.
Lady in Red.
How are you today?
Good,
cool.
Thanks.
So this looks like a fun project. Yeah. Do you have to be able to sing to be in the show?
I guess not. You can jump up on stage now.
I tell you, when you came in today, one of our techs here, Ronan, who's so fantastic, came running in and was asking an opera question. It's amazing how many people love opera in this town, isn't it? Really cool.
It's really... LA is a fun city for that because I think, you know, everybody thinks that they don't know opera, and then you start, you know, saying, oh, do you like cartoons?
Yep.
And you know half of the opera catalog just from, you know, watching old cartoons. And people like stories in LA. And I think opera is really great storytelling. So as soon as you see one, you're like, oh, yeah, I like that. Or, I don't know, it's really fun to experience the audience's appreciation, especially in California. It's kind of different.
Now, in my training, I've always found opera people to be quite serious about their art and care about it very, very much and take it extremely seriously and focus a lot. And then I've met improv people as well. Mm-hmm. And improv people kind of have the exact opposite attitude. But you happen to do both.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Uh-huh.
Do you ever get confused and just kind of start improvising when you're in opera?
How I got started in improv was actually opera improv.
I love it.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Now, do you actually, you create songs to an operatic score or something like that?
Well, it was for Opera Santa Barbara, and we brought an educational program into schools, and we would have the kids tell us what to sing.
I love
it. So they would pick, just so we didn't get like Princess or like Spider-Man right. every time, we had them pick out the protagonist out of the envelope, and then everything else would be like, okay, and what is he doing? And what's happening there? And then we would sing all the recitative is like the chatter part mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, I'm so happy to be here today, blah, 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 blah. Like, so you would make up all of that on the spot, and then you'd sing, and then the pianist would start playing an aria, and you'd be like, okay, now I know what to sing there. So super fun. That's how I got into improv, started going to UCB to study and then start playing, and it's so fun.
I made the mistake the other day of teaching my son, former co-host of this show, little Caleb, I made the mistake of teaching him about Maury Amsterdam, who was the human joke machine of the 1960s and 70s, and he would, you know, you could give him any topic and he would come up with a joke about it. So like you say, you know, something completely absurd, you know, motor oil, and he'd come up with a joke about
motor
oil.
Do you remember him?
He was on the Dick Van Dyke Show. He played Buddy Sorrell and all kinds of things.
Do you remember Dick
like
Van Dyke Show? You're too young.
When I told Caleb about it, he loved, right? I told Caleb about that, and he loved that idea, the idea mm-hmm. of come up with a joke on the spot. And so now he will just be walking down the street, and he'll see something. He'll look up at me and go, tree. And I know that he wants me to make a joke about
a
tree.
So,
yeah. So I tell you, my brain has had to be on. But I thought that's the basis of improv is can you find the humor in a mundane topic, which I love.
Yeah, or even just when I was trying to think of like the embarrassing moment thing, as I was telling you before, I actually really like those fresh moments on stage because in opera, you've got to be so prepared.
Correct.
But you still want to have that like audience feeling and that interaction. And there was this one show I was doing. It was some of the hardest music I've ever learned and one of the most important special pieces I've ever sung. And rehearsals were so hard because it was so challenging musically and emotionally as well, but also the expectation of being perfect during that time period for like hours a day. I needed a release. And yeah. So I would go to the clubhouse in Los Feliz every night after rehearsal and see how much I could mess up on stage. And, and there was this one night where my team was like so on point and we were just, everything was like mathematically right for the improv. And I was like, I haven't messed up yet tonight. I haven't messed up. And so I'm like,
what's wrong with me?
Yeah. I'm like, what's the one thing I cannot do? Absolutely on stage. I'm like, the worm. And so I just started doing the worm on stage. It was like this weird dance scene.
Did it play?
What?
Did it play? Did it get a
laugh?
Yeah,
everybody was like, what is that? Yeah, because people like seeing people be human not being amazing. And when you bring that to, you know, when you bring your humanity to what you're doing on stage, that's when an audience connects with you, not when you're like, I am a robot of music. You know,
I'm normally against humanity, but that sounds great. That sounds fantastic. I love it. That's a fun thing. And improv certainly is a great thing to get kids involved in, too, because boy, does it teach you to find who you are. Right?
Yeah.
You got to find your center very quickly.
So you've been singing opera since you were a child?
No, I started, I just wanted to sing, period. But right. My family wasn't very musical or artistic or anything. So I just, you know, would sing along with Disney princesses or I would... But then I was like, I want to do music theater. And I would like make up charts of the reasons why I should be allowed to study things. And
that's the opera side of you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, here's a PowerPoint presentation about why I should be able to go to this acting academy. So I started doing music theater. And I like my research. You can see that I've brought in a little chart for myself, too. Don't get too nervous tonight. I really like the research aspect of any performance I do. And when I was in my last semester of college, we did Popeye, and it's an early music opera. And I got to geek out on so much research. And I'm like, I love opera. Like that was the solidifying point for me, was being able to combine everything I love about being on stage and then also getting to be a super nerd beforehand.
Well, now you're appearing in the Verde Cortes Spring 2019 concert. And this looks like just a ton of fun. Is this two nights only, two performances only? Is that correct? So April 6th and 7th this year at the United Methodist Church in Santa Monica, First United Methodist. Wow.
Well, you know, the Verdi Chorus has over three, reading from press notes, its repertoire includes over 300 choruses from 81 operas in seven languages.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing. And that's kind of cool, too, because opera's fun to expose children and young people to, because it is so melodramatic at times, but it also teaches you about understanding empathy and how people have gone through huge things and also how you handle small things that you deal with in the day, which I love.
Well, you know, we have a recording of this, our guest today, that I think we should probably appropriately play now.
Let's do
it. It's an amazing voice.
I believe we're jumping in mid-phrase here, so forgive that. Obviously, such a beautiful, beautiful piece.
It sounds like it might be a very sad moment. Is it?
No, that's when Dalila is actually trying, or she successfully is seducing Samson.
This is from Samson and Delilah,
Samson
correct?
And Delilah, yeah.
Wow.
So, so she's seducing him, but she's seducing him through her trying to play a little bit more of the person who should be pitied in that moment. But it is to entice him in, as far as like you can't refuse me. So
looking at you, and you're very beautiful, and you're young, But which, what we just heard, that voice coming out of you, I would not connect the two.
It's an old soul voice.
My mom made so much fun of, my whole family made fun of me. because when I was a little kid, I would come home and I had a very, very low voice. And so I would go to preschool and my cousins would be like, Danielle, what was your favorite part of today? And I would go, singing and marching. Yeah, I had like the lowest little voice. So yeah, I've always had a deep, deep resonant voice.
Do you come from a big family?
No, a big extended family. Very cool. Yeah, my sister and I growing up, but then we have a million cousins and I love it.
Well, now the piece that I just played was from your website, which is fantastic, by the way. I love performers.
And the opera
website.
Was?
I believe that's Samson and Delilah.
Yeah. Samson and Delilah. Well, we said that, yes.
Now, if people want to go visit your website, could you give them that address real quick?
Danielle Marcel Bond, which is DanielleMarcelle Bond, nice. Like James Bond.
And obviously it is a great one. They can check out a lot of your stuff there, but also get a glimpse, if this is their first exposure to opera, get a glimpse of kind of what they can go to see at the Verde Chorus and kind of understand a little bit about what the art form does. Most of these, you're just at a piano singing the aria, which I think is so beautiful as well, because the aria is the story. You don't need necessarily all the sets and that sort of thing as well.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this. Opera, I think, is beautiful, but it's a very different art form than musical theater, which you've also done. Do you have a preference?
I think that my voice lends itself more to opera. I do love doing music theater, though. It's so much fun, and I love dancing, and usually in operas, you don't get to dance as much. Mm.
And who did you? What character did you play when you did Les Mis?
Oh, I just have a recording of it from a concert. I've never done it, but...
And who are you singing there?
Fontaine.
Mm-hmm. Oh. That sounds like a good fit for your voice.
Yeah, I love it. And I'm actually going to be working with a music theater specialist in New York. I'll be going for an opera that I'm doing. So I was like, all right, I want to start getting that crossover repertoire back in my body. Because, it's a different style. For sure. And I love both, though. I just like good storytelling. And if you've got a good story to tell, I want to sing it. I'll do it. Yeah, I just love it.
That's a guaranteed contract here on LA State of the Arts. You're going to have playwrights calling you up all over the place. You said you'd sing my story.
Well, a little bit
about this project. Can you tell me a little bit about what the Verde Chorus is going to show us?
Yeah.
And again, this is two nights only, correct?
So. Yeah, it's an evening performance, and then the Sunday is a matinee. And what the Verde Chorus does so beautifully, I've seen a bunch of their performances before, but I've not sung with them previous to this. But they celebrate the choruses of beautiful operas, and then they hire or they have soloists come in to sing some of the principal roles that happen within those choruses. So you get to hear all these beautiful big moments in opera, and you know, really gorgeous things that span you know, the empathy and the sorrow that a community is having, and then also the utter joy that a community is having, which I think is really fun, like to have that chorus community be the focus of a whole concert is really special.
It's the entire emotional arc of the opera as well, which is really cool. I love that.
What, you know, in more recent years in opera, I noticed this big kind of trend with the male singers, and they were baritones, and I think they were referred to as barahunks.
Yeah.
Because they started changing their look. There was all these younger, dynamic young men who had these amazing voices, and they were extraordinarily good looking, and they were coming into the opera world.
Yeah.
Are there any barahunks in this chorus?
Of course.
Okay, well, we'll have to publish.
There's always a barahunk lurking in the corner.
We could do a calendar, maybe. I don't know.
There's a calendar. If you go to barahunks.com, I believe.
Are you serious?
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I believe it's available. I haven't bought one of the calendars.
Yeah, nice try to cover.
Really.
We had that website
barahunks.com/calendar. I'm not sure.
10% goes to supporting opera across the world. Ladies and gentlemen, prices are as low as $10 for this show, and you can get tickets as easily as just going to the Verde Chorus. That's verdichorus.org. And that's a real simple way to do it. Again, the venue is the First United Methodist Church in Santa Monica.
And did you give the phone number?
I did not.
800-838-3006, which is brownpapertickets.com. And you can go online 24/7 to Brown Paper Tickets, and they have the nicest, most pleasant customer service people that will help you 24/7. That's unusual, especially being nice at those those late hours.
That's right. It takes a special kind of person.
Exactly.
Doesn't it?
So you have so many choices, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend to do something with these shows, with the Verde Chorus featuring our lovely guest and the Meatball Chronicles at the Hudson Theater.
And Floating Island play.
The Floating Islands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing. So take this information with you here and take your family out and enjoy the live arts. Because you know what's so great about the live arts is that you see a performance, an opera performance, or any performance of the shows that we're talking about, and the next night it will not be the same performance.
Correct.
It is. You're seeing something special for that moment in time.
That's exactly right.
And that's the beauty of the live arts.
So, and now, embarrassing moments.
Oh, Danielle, you thought you could get out of here.
No. I did. Oh, no.
Do you have one for us?
I'm terrible at interviews. And I didn't have any media training before this one event that I was doing. And this camera crew came up, and they're like, "Oh, can we interview you?" And I was like, "Okay." and I get really nervous. I'm not a shy person at all, except when you put a video camera in my face. I think it started like when my aunt used to put video cameras in our face on Christmas morning and be like, "Merry Christmas!" So now I'm terrified of video cameras in my face and being asked questions about Christmas. Anyway. Just an aside. But yeah, I get a little nervous, and so I started panicking during this interview, and I swore like a sailor, and I'm like, "Now you can't use it. Now you can't use it. We have to do it all over." Yeah, I get a little hyper about it.
I'm glad you didn't tell me that before we went on the air today.
I know. I was like, I shouldn't say it, but that's the only thing I could think of.
They don't give me any beep button here, just so
I know.
You know. So.
Yeah. No. I like prepared mentally. I like actually did media training after that because I'm like, I can never do that again. And it's nice to know that other performers also get that nervous because being on stage is my safe place. Like I want to be on stage all the time, every single day of the week. And I just, but this one thing is just
so
like,
funny. Did that interview ever make it to air?
No.
How funny.
Thank God. No. We just shot it again the next day. I was like, I need a little preparation, I guess.
That's fantastic. Well, now we've talked about a ton of stuff today. Obviously, a number of great shows, the Meatball Chronicles and the Verde Chorus, which is going to be such a good piece as well. If you want more information on these, you can go to www.performingartslive.com, or you can always just go to these performers' Instagram pages. You have a very nice Instagram page. Tell me what the handle is there.
I think it is Danielle M 007.
That's right. She's got the Bond girl
thing going. Yeah. I picked up on that.
Yeah. Immediately.
It's the best last name, especially because my first name is so long. I'm great. My full name is Danielle Marcel Jean-Marie Bond.
Wow. Wow, that's a name for opera.
Yeah, I do like my name though.
Well, thank you so much for joining
us.
Yes. What a pleasure.
You're welcome back anytime.
No doubt. So will you come back and visit us next time you got a project here in LA?
I'd love to.
We'd love to talk to you then. And obviously, to all of our listeners, we want to remind you, some of the great shows going on. We talked about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes, at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood.
Great piece. Obviously, Dumbo out in theaters now. Get up and go see that.
Not now.
Now?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Is that? I thought I got an invite today for somebody who was going. That's interesting. Yeah. So tomorrow it's out in theaters. That's amazing.
I guess out in theaters everywhere.
Well, maybe a limited release today. Interesting. And we should give the info one more time here for the Verde Chorus, which is easily called Brown Paper Tickets, 1-800-838-3006.
BrownPaperTickets.com on the net. Easy to do.
That's right. And once again, Meatball Chronicles, which is a really fun and certainly an endearing performer, going on at the Hudson Guild Theater. That's running tomorrow night through April 14th. The easiest way to get tickets to that is to go to www.onstage411.com. facebook.com/meatball.
And then, of course, the last our arts calendar was the Floating Island Plays, part of the Future Classics Reading Series. And that is encompasses shows through March 30th and the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you check that out.
Certainly a fun show, and it's a great historical piece as well. One of the things that we always say on the show, as we've said it here today as well, get up, get off the couch, and go see a show somewhere. Support the live and performing arts. Obviously, want to give a big thank you to all of our listeners today. Thank you all.
Yep. Thank you, folks.
Michael, such a pleasure to sit across from you again this week.
It is, isn't it?
My name is Andrew David James.
I'm Michael Sterling, and where will I see you, Andrew,
Michael,
next
I'll
week?
Be right here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.